please listen carefully.
Well, hello, universe, and welcome to the Optimist Daily Update. I'm Christy Jansen.
And I'm Summers McKay.
And we are a part of the team behind the Optimist Daily, making solutions the news. We're bringing you reader-funded solutions news every day in order to change the tenor of news media, social media, and the direction of your day to make it one focused on solutions.
7 days a week, including Hump Day, we publish positive news stories written by award-winning journalists, paid award-winning journalists, and delivered online to your inbox and through our social channels. And now we are sharing these solutions in a commute-worthy, walk-worthy, home office-worthy podcast. Today is Wednesday, the 2nd of September, 2020. Gosh, Christy, yesterday was fast for me. How was it for you?
It went by, it felt like 3 minutes. Honestly,
it's amazing.
The whole day felt super fast.
That's what happens when you have back-to-back meetings and great conversations with colleagues.
It's also what happens when you're stuck doing exactly the same thing for the most part, day after day after day. I was talking to somebody who works for me who's, 22, all of 22 years, and she was talking about just how quickly this year has flown by. And I was saying, oh my God, I can't believe someone so young is feeling that kind of speed. And she said, yeah, I feel like I'm suddenly 28. I was laughing pretty hard at that.
Oh, to be 28 again. Although I will say I would not go back to being 28 again. Yeah, if you could go back in time to a previous year in your life, is there any year you'd go back to?
I don't know, because I'm so much more together in myself and in my life now than I was when I was, like, for example, 28. That was kind of a rough year for me.
Yeah.
I had a lot of transitions and a lot of... That was the year my father died, for example.
Right.
And just knowing who I am now, I love that. I love knowing who I am. So I did like, my body looked when I was 28, I suppose, compared to now.
You know, I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, obviously, when you have big changes or big transitions in your life, you kind of can't help but look back and say, like, had I done something differently, or would I, or should I have? There's this phrase, like, you could should all over yourself and you shouldn't. And I really look at my life today, and there are so many things that I love and cherish. And no, it's not perfect. It is not rose-colored glasses at all. But it is just this beautiful life that has been constructed from all of these great choices and challenging choices and great times and challenging times that have come along the way. And I want so much for my daughter to never feel regret from anything of the past. And I just feel like regret is this awful, dark thing. And I see so many people who are always looking at the past of what they could have done differently. I wish I could just erase that notion for her. And I want to erase that notion for me, because looking at the past and wondering what you could have done differently would mean you wouldn't be who you are today. And you got to be present and like who you are today. So I don't know. I know I'm getting very philosophical here, but I've spent so much time in personal reflection because I did take time to step away. And now that we're into this, like, well into the work week, I have to say Monday was a little rough because I was a little tired. It was hard to commit. And then Tuesday came, and then all of a sudden Wednesday was here. And I'm actually, like, really liking being back at work. I really am excited about doing a good job. So I think the vacation gave me good perspective. And I don't know, I don't want to go back to being any age other than the age that I am right now. Maybe I'll go back to yesterday, but today's good.
I think that's important to remember, that while you don't want to forget the past or say that it didn't happen, don't dwell on it, because you can't change it, right? Time is always accumulating. You know, living in the moment is really the best way to live, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. And just escaping from regret. In fact,
yes.
Writers at the Optimist Daily, if anybody's listening, let's find some great solutions on how to just escape from the notion of regret. Or maybe, Christy, we should write a view. But before we write them, we should read the Optimist Daily in the morning and figure out what has inspired us.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about today? I think we have sort of a forest feeling today, right, Summers?
We do. It's underwater forest and redwood forest. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go?
I think I want you to go first.
And that's just because you haven't highlighted the sections in your story you're going to talk about yet. But guess what? Neither have I. So let's just wing it. It'll be crazy. Okay, so my headline reads, "Why Seagrass Meadows Are the Carbon Capture Solution We Need." Obviously from the environment section. So seagrass meadows basically can capture carbon at a 35 times faster rate than rainforests, but they currently only cover just 0.2% of the ocean. Yesterday, we were talking about LIDAR and different ways of exploring the ocean. And one of the things that we've discovered is that these seagrass meadows are actually declining. Seagrasses basically accounts for up to 10% of the ocean's capacity to store carbon. Now, an expansion of seagrass meadows with a experimental 20,000 square meter area in Pembrokeshire, South Wales, seagrass seeds have been planted on the seafloor in Hessian bags and held together by lines of ropes. As the bags degrade, the seeds, you know, basically go deep into the soil and create a new meadow. And these seeds have been collected through basically harvesting of divers all over England and Wales. So basically the goal, like the goal of planting a million trees or a trillion trees, yesterday's article, the overall goal is to plant a million seeds and inspire similar projects in other areas of the country. This is just a really interesting solution and not one I've thought about. We've talked a lot about coral reefs. We've talked about reforestation and understanding the idea that the mangroves play such a critical role in managing climate change and protecting the environment.
Coastlines.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Protecting coastlines. But I love this. You know, I know as a scuba diver or a snorkeler, when you come across a seagrass meadow, it's just so rich and there's just so many darling little fish and it's just beautiful. So I think this is a really fascinating solution. I want to see it explored and I definitely want to go dive there.
I think this kind of an idea of actually reseeding and reforesting the ocean is a really, really crucial concept to get out there and to implement all over the world. Seagrass, yes, but also kelp, and sort of using the oceans as a carbon capture, it can actually really help to bring biodiversity back to those areas. There's like deserts in the ocean that have been growing as the ocean heats up and acidifies, that we can actually start to turn around with a bit of intervention, like these kinds of seagrass plantings, like creating sculptures where kelp can repopulate coastlines, yeah, like off California or off of Chile or Tanzania. I know that Brian Von Herzen, who's a really brilliant oceanographer, is working on those kinds of projects around the world. And the idea of basically reforesting our oceans is just as essential as reforesting our land.
Our lands, like the agroforestry that we were talking about earlier. Actually, reforesting the ocean and increasing seagrass beds can help with the fish nurseries for fisheries. So it can be a healthy way to increase fish production and reduce the carbon footprint of those fisheries.
Yep.
So it's a win-win. It's a do good, do well to make these efforts a strategic plan for our world.
And in Drawdown, you know, Paul Hawkins' book Drawdown, this is one of the top drawdown solutions, is actually reforesting the oceans. And in relation to providing extra habitat, it'll help increase biodiversity again. So I think this is a great solution. I love it. And I also do love, as a scuba diver, snorkeler, being able to swim like in the midst of these ocean forests is one of the most awe-inspiring experiences that I've ever experienced in my life. And I always likened it to like floating along the top of like a rainforest or a massive old growth forest, which is what brings me to the second headline for today's Optimist Daily Update that I wanted to focus on. Electric rail bike lets you pedal through California's ancient redwoods. And this is one that kind of sung to me today, because I think last week we had an article about the fact that the redwoods in California, despite some of these massive forest fires that we've been experiencing, many of those trees actually have survived. And these are ancient beings on our planet. Some of them have been alive for 2,000 years. And if you think about that, that is just mind exploding, these ancient trees.
And the fact that many of them actually survived the forest fires, there's so much education in understanding that they are so resilient.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
If you think about it, California's ecosystem is designed to have forest fires. I mean, these ones in this most recent period were started by lightning strikes. That is a lot how fires in the past have been started in the history of the world, exactly. Right? And so yeah. California is an ecosystem that actually depends on fires in some cases for it to regenerate and recover and for the kinds of growth that has to happen to clear things out. And so these trees are maybe to some extent designed to survive these kinds of fires. Of course, the people who live among these redwoods are not designed to survive these forest fires, which is why it creates such a problem for us.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, these are ancient trees who have been alive longer than any nation on earth, really, if you think about it. And it's just awesome. But in an effort to breathe new life into some of America's historic railway lines, there's a company called Skunk Train that are repurposing unused train tracks to create adventure tour routes. But instead of using trains, they are providing electric power rail bikes meant for two people along different routes. And one of the routes that just opened up, which is a fantastic one, is a Redwood route in Northern California. And it's a guided tour that lasts for a couple of hours. And it starts at Fort Bragg and continues through the scenic Pudding Creek and the beautiful ancient redwoods of Mendocino County. And it's just it's a fantastic hour spent among these ancient trees, providing wonder and awe and connecting to nature and also getting a little bit of exercise instead of just sitting in a train.
I love this. And I just think that this is a vacation I couldn't wait to have, right? This would just be perfect. If you can't scuba dive right now, go ride an electric bike through the redwoods. That is just magic. Yeah.
Now, I don't know how right now with the fires that have been going on and the air quality, I don't
That's
know how how popular this is right this moment. But if we're going to do a new vacation in California that's outdoors, I think this is a good one, a good destination to pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and, you know, outdoor adventures and spending time outdoors and really honoring our outdoor experience has really been on the rise as we have all been fixed inside and pushed to be stuck inside during this COVID quarantine era. And I just love that these ideas, these stories, recognizing just how beautiful our natural world is and how much we must protect it and respect it is coming to light as we know that we really depend on it. I continue to be heartbroken that I will not be able to take my little girl to the family home in Santa Cruz that was burned recently in the fire, but I am optimistic because I know that all of those redwoods, all of those trees, the big trees that are up there and much of the meadow in just a few years will resprout and reseed and it will be beautiful again. And there'll just be a new chapter. So perhaps, you know, my cousin's daughter and my daughter will build homes there in the future. But this powerful, beautiful, magical, natural world that we have, whether it's seagrass, meadows in the oceans, or redwood forests, just continue to be something to protect and cherish. Feeling very airy floaty today on the Optimist Daily Update. Sorry, guys. What else do we have for our fabulous readers today?
Another California story, new California bill would mandate diversity on corporate boards. I think this is an important acknowledgement of how diversity can actually help a company be more inclusive, more sustainable, and actually survive the vagaries of the world even better.
There have been some really marquee folks stepping down from corporate boards to make space for diverse representation on the boards. I know on the board of Reddit, someone stepped down and people are stepping down to allow for more diversity and remembering that that diversity includes not only females, but also people of color.
Yeah. And I think you have to think about even people who have different body situations. If you think about it, if you're somebody who's blind, you're going to have a very different understanding of how the world works. And if you're not, and then if you're sighted, if you don't have full use of your legs, you're going to have a very different understanding of how to move around in this world compared to people who can walk without thinking about it. So I think diversity comes in many shapes and many sizes, many colors, many genders. I'm a very pro-diversity personality. So,
exactly. There's 150,000 purple martins dazzling the skyline of Nashville. So, we've got oceans, we've got air, we've got redwood forests. And then let's see, there's another company out to capture all the CO2 it has ever emitted. What company is that?
This is a Denmark-based skylight manufacturer named Velux. And they're talking along the lines of what Microsoft is saying. I think they've been around for 76 years, and they're going to try to reverse all of the carbon that they've emitted in their entire 76-year life of this company to recapture that carbon and actually take it down. And I think that kind of a statement, Microsoft had a similar one recently. I think that's the kind of direction that corporate responsibility is heading in different areas. And I celebrate that. And we do celebrate that on the Optimist Daily. And then there's an article on overprotective parenting and 4 tips for raising independent kids and how that could be great. There's lots of other great stories today on the Optimist Daily. So go and read today's solutions. That's it for this morning's Optimist Daily Update. Thank you so much for listening. We promise to continue to share these kinds of positive, solution-based stories that can give you ideas on how you can participate in the changing world and ensure that it is changed for the good. We promise to continue to cover current events with accuracy, legitimate sources, and also offer you the information you need most in order to chart new paths for yourself and for all of us.
Please consider becoming an emissary on theoptimistdaily.com and just $5 a month support reader-funded independent journalism. Be part of the solution changing consciousness and addressing our world's biggest challenges with a problem-solving mindset. Let's keep the Optimist Daily free to all who need it, supported by those who can. Everybody have a great Wednesday, and we will see you tomorrow on the 3rd of September.